Hello, friends. Guess what? We're having our super special September sale on Sleep Tight Premium through Supercast, and it ends this month. It's the perfect way to help you and your grown-ups ease back into the school year and make bedtime even more special for the whole family. With Sleep Tight Premium, you'll get ad-free episodes, extra stories each month, and for annual subscribers, a personalized birthday message from me. Plus, you'll unlock over 500 stories not available anywhere else, all while supporting the stories your family loves. Don't miss out. It's only for this month. Join us for more dreamy nights. Sign up at the link in our show notes or visit sleeptight.supercast.com. The Rat King by Patty Larson. After seeing Susan and returning to Cat City, Tucker is determined to warn the council that something is still happening. He and Vinny walk together to tell the members what he has learned before it is too late. But are they going to listen this time? The Rat King, Chapter 4. Tucker did his best not to flinch from the steady and judgmental stares of the two large gray guards who flanked the inner doors. He was positive the only reason they didn't call him out was because Vinny did indeed have his back, only a pace behind with his head and tail high. The guards certainly appeared unhappy about his arrival, if unwilling to challenge their leader. Tucker passed between them without a single complaint and exhaled the breath he'd been holding since he entered the building as relief won. Maybe this was a sign that everything was going to be all right. The first door on the left was wide open, but Tucker passed it by. His mother's voice echoed toward him from inside, telling him he'd made the right decision not going home, since she wouldn't have been there to berate him anyway. And it wasn't like his father, George, was much help. Tucker swallowed a moment of guilt, thinking about his orange tabby dad that way. He'd spent his whole life being looked down on for having a Persian, full-blood mother and an ordinary ginger tabby father. So carrying on that belief certainly did neither of them any good. Still, the truth of the matter was that despite his father's support, it was Cynthia who Tucker really needed on his side. If only his mother wasn't so stubborn. Tucker carried on down the wide hallway, paws silent on the polished marble floor, the quiet of murmuring voices drifting through the still air. He didn't look up at the paintings of previous council leaders that lined the tall corridor, nor pause to admire the elegant furniture upholstered in deep plum velvet and painted in the same glittering gold as the trim on the ivory walls. He'd been here enough times that such things didn't impress him any longer. Maybe if he wasn't thinking about Susan or worrying her nightmares were premonitions, or worse than that, meant she was still tied to the rats, he could have appreciated his surroundings. Instead, with his shoulders hunching more and more the further he went, the fur on his back lifting in protest to his growing anxiety, Tucker finally stopped outside the last door at the end of the corridor. If it wasn't for Vinny right on his heels, Tucker was very sure he'd have turned around and left, then and there. two more hulking guards, both of them solid black and with the same bulk as his main coon friend, but far sleeker, with brutishly flat faces and dull brown eyes, observed him in silence as Tucker stopped and spoke. "I need to see Albert," he said. "Now." Tucker almost jumped at the sound of Vinny's voice, that commanding word following right after his request. The guard on the left bowed his head to the main coon. "A moment, Captain," he said in his deep, rasping voice. He turned and entered the doorway, slipping through the narrow space he made, leaving no room for anyone to follow. Tucker did his best to sit on his haunches and remain composed. The temptation to shuffle his paws, or even begin to groom himself, so powerful that he had to bite his tongue hard enough it hurt to keep from doing so. He couldn't afford to show weakness. Not here, not now. Susan was counting on him, whether she knew it or not. The whole city was, which had him flinching all over again. A doubting voice whispering in his head, sounding suspiciously like his mother. "Because only you can save Cat City. Is that it, Tucker?" "I'm the only one who seems to care," he shot back. "We'll see about that," his mind told him, "if Albert will even see you." The big guard returned just as Tucker's doubt finished. "You may enter," he said. One paw in front of the other, Tucker thought. "You can do this." With his inner voice now silent, he did exactly that. He didn't even trip or stumble or hesitate. Proud of himself despite the butterflies dancing in his stomach. Vinny gently nudged his shoulder while the big cat strode next to him. Tucker glancing up in surprise to find his friend beaming. "Piece of cake," the main coon whispered. "So far so good, at least." Again, hope rose to smother fear and Tucker drew another deep breath. Would Albert finally listen? The leader of Cat City's council sat on the surface of the large wooden desk that filled the far end of the room. Artificial light that served as their daylight shone in through the beautiful stained glass window behind him, the scene depicting humans and cats in daily harmony, casting rainbow glimmers over the plush cream carpet that covered most of the marble floor. Tucker always felt so small in this office. The towering wooden bookshelves, filled with heavy leather tomes of knowledge and history forbidden to all but the leaders of the city, a constant curiosity to him. There had been a time he'd thought about clerking for the council, serving as an assistant or aide to one of the councillors, if only to gain access to the books here. But the gate's lore was far stronger, and now that he knew what he knew, he was glad he'd chosen that path instead of one of study and service here in the office. "Such a hero," that awful internal voice whispered to him. "Tucker?" Albert blinked slowly, his large yellow eyes unreadable. Pupils narrow slits as he basked in the light, an open book before him. Both front paws rested on the page he studied, flattened ears over his broad skull, making him appear more unhappy than he was, thanks to his Scottish fold breeding. At least, usually. Right now, his thick orange tail that matched the rest of his heavy body trailed over the edge of the desk, twitching at the tip. That was the only sign that the council's leader wasn't happy to see them, but it was more than enough to make Tucker nervous all over again. "Vinny, what can I do for you?" He had to know. This wasn't the first time they'd had this conversation. And though there had been a time only a short week ago that the leader of Cat City spoke kindly and gratefully of Tucker's contributions to the safety of their home, It hadn't taken long for him or the rest of the council to back away from their newfound kindness and return to their frustrating refusal to admit anything was wrong. It hurt Tucker. He wasn't ashamed to admit it. He thought he'd earned their trust, only to end up back here, fighting to be heard yet again, despite everything. Tucker's words caught in his throat, and for a moment, he almost gave up then and there. Susan's magic isn't dormant, Vinny said for him, and she's having dreams that are far from it, Albert. Tucker inhaled sharply as his friend did for him what the butterscotch tabby couldn't. She's still connected to the magic of the city, even in the house above. More importantly, she's still in tune with the rats. Albert squinted, eyes now narrow and pupils widening to darken his gaze. You have proof? As much as we had the last time the rats attacked, Vinny said, again before Tucker could speak. Tucker almost choked on his friend's cold and flat tone, an anxious laugh bubbling in the back of his throat. You remember that, right? How Tucker warned you, how Susan did, but you didn't listen until it was almost too late? The time that Tucker and Susan saved our city from those same rats no one believed were real? Vinny hesitated, his words stopping just for a moment. Tucker glanced over, seeing the big cat's face twist in surprise, before he exhaled and went on with another massive headshake. No, I'm not wrong, he said out loud, looking up at the leader again. While exposing two traitors, Vinny went on as if he hadn't stopped just now. Tossing one to our enemies and putting an end to the other? Tucker, now alarmed and wondering what that weird moment meant, couldn't think of a thing to say as Vinny fell quiet a moment while Albert glared. This time, however, it was clear the main coon had stopped on purpose. It was such a long time ago, the big cat sighed, shaking his head. A whole week. His sarcasm cut as deeply as his claws could have. I know, a lifetime. His gold eyes sparked as his tone shifted to dull accusation. Maybe you've forgotten, Tucker snickered. He couldn't help himself. Vinny had this way of disarming others with wit and words that no one else could get away with. The Maine Coon needed to stop thinking he was stupid. He just proved to Tucker yet again he was far from it. Albert had no recourse either, and he knew it. That tail twitch speeding up as he sat, quiet and still, as though trying to come up with some reply that might win back some control of the situation. Finally, he sighed, his tail falling still as the council leader bowed his head. Tell me, he said then in a weary voice that sounded defeated. No, more than that. Strained, as if it took great effort to ask. What was going on? Still, the leader was paying attention, asking questions. Tucker's heart lifted. At last! Except, as he opened his mouth to speak, to tell the leader everything, the door behind them opened and a familiar white Persian entered, her amber eyes snapping fire. We've heard enough, Cynthia snapped before her son could say a word, and I'm personally done with this foolishness. Albert, it's time we sever our ties to the family above. Tucker gaped at his mother as she nodded curtly. As of this moment, it is my request to the council that Tucker be removed from the house and the influence of that girl. She almost spit those words, and be released from his position as gatekeeper. And that is the end of this part. Good night. Sleep tight.